news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive
Voices
Network. The
House on Wednesday passed a bipartisan proposal seeking to create an independent commission to investigate the January 6th attack on the Capitol by a mob of the former president's supporters. The plan calls for Democratic and Republican leaders to appoint 5 members each to a 10-person commission. Both sides would have subpoena power. Despite the fact that the bill was negotiated by the ranking Republican on the Homeland Security Committee, John Katko, along with the chair, Democrat Benny Thompson, and it included every demand requested by House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, the wannabe speaker still opposed the plan. In the end, 35 Republicans joined every Democrat in the 252-175 vote. Next, the bill goes to the Senate, where it faces even bigger hurdles, but it could come to the floor as early as next week. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, of course, came out against it on Wednesday, calling it, quote, slanted and unbalanced, though some Republicans are reportedly admitting that a filibuster would look really bad, especially after the bipartisan vote in the House. With the filibuster in place, Democrats would need every one of its members, plus 10 Republicans, to join them in voting for it. Reaction to the lack of support for a commission by the Republicans is meeting with some criticism. Some members of the Capitol Police on Wednesday reportedly sent an anonymous letter to members of Congress expressing their profound disappointment with House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy and Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell for not supporting a bipartisan proposal for this commission. The Capitol Police were quick to point out that the letter is not an official statement from them and that the anonymous writers said they would go unnamed because, quote, we are expected to remain neutral and do our jobs with honor and integrity. All right. The letter says, quote, we would hope that the members whom we took an oath to protect would, at the very minimum, support an investigation to get to the bottom of it. The family of the U.S. Capitol Police officer Howie Liebengood, who took his own life after the uprising, also is urging Congress to approve the creation of a commission to examine the riot. On a related note, the House on Thursday will vote on a $1.9 billion security supplemental bill to provide extra security at the Capitol. This bill includes a number of recommendations from former U.S. Army General Russell Honoré's review of the Capitol's security needs. Apparently, there's some pushback over $250 million for, quote, future security needs, including retractable or pop-in fencing, as well as $200 million for a, quote, quick reaction force to bolster the U.S. Capitol Police in emergencies. By the way, this will be one of the last issues that members vote on before they leave D.C. until the middle of June. President Biden on Wednesday told Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu that he, quote, expected a significant de-escalation today in Gaza. But Netanyahu said Israel would continue airstrikes against Hamas, quote, until its aim is met. Israel has already destroyed about 60 miles of underground tunnels, hit 80 rocket launchers, and killed at least 130 Palestinian militants. But a senior Israeli military officer said there is, quote, still work to do. The Israeli airstrikes and Hamas rocket fire eased up a little bit early Thursday, and both sides are now expressing some optimism that a ceasefire could be reached, possibly as soon as this weekend. The deal being discussed would include a halt to Israeli strikes targeting Hamas infrastructure and leaders and to Hamas rocket fire into Israel. At latest count, more than 220 Palestinians and 12 Israelis have died in the fighting. Senator Bernie Sanders on Thursday plans to introduce a resolution of disapproval on a $735 million U.S. arms sale to Israel. The resolution needs only a simple majority in the Senate to pass, but if Biden were to veto it, it would need a 2/3 majority in both chambers to go into effect. Well, under the backdrop of the news that the Supreme Court in the next term will hear a direct challenge to Roe v. Wade, some states aren't waiting. They're doing it on their own. In Texas, on Wednesday, Governor Greg Abbott signed a law banning abortions once a fetal heartbeat can be detected, which can happen as early as 6 weeks. Abbott said, quote, "The life of every unborn child with a heartbeat will be saved from the ravages of abortion." Note, a fetus is not a child. Anyway, the law is scheduled to take effect in September, but is expected to be blocked by courts due to longstanding precedents protecting abortion rights until fetal viability, which comes at about 22 weeks. And of course, there's that upcoming case before the Supreme Court. Viola Fletcher is the oldest living survivor of the 1921 Tulsa race massacre, and she testified on Wednesday before a House Judiciary Committee about an event that most Americans don't even know ever happened.
I'm a survivor of the Tulsa race massacre. 2 weeks ago, I celebrated my 107th birthday. Today, I'm visiting Washington, D.C. for the first time in my life. I'm here seeking justice, and I'm asking my country to acknowledge what happened in Tulsa in 1921. On May 31st in 21, I went to bed in my family's home in Greenwood, neighbors of Tulsa, the neighborhood I felt asleep in that night. Was rich, not just in terms of wealth, but in culture, community, heritage, and my family had a beautiful home. We had great neighbors, and I had friends to play with. I felt safe. I had everything a child could need. I had a bright future ahead of me. Still, Greenwood should have given me the chance to truly make it in this country. Within a few hours, all of that was gone. The night of the massacre, I was awakened by my family. My parents and 5 siblings were there. I was told we had to leave, and that was it. I will never forget the violence of the white mob when we left our home. I still see black men seen being shot, black bodies lying in the street. I still smell smoke and see fire. I still see black businesses being burned. I still hear airplanes flying overhead. I hear the screams. I have lived through the massacre every day.
The 107-year-old Fletcher was joined at the hearing by her brother and fellow survivor, Hughes Van Ellis, and a third survivor, Leslie Benningfield Randall, appeared virtually. They are the 3 lead plaintiffs in a lawsuit filed last year against the city, county, and Chamber of Commerce of Tulsa and the state of Oklahoma, arguing they, quote, fail to defend the black community from a white mob. As many as 300 black people died in the attack, and 10,000 were left homeless. So the day after we learned that the New York Attorney General's office has opened a criminal investigation into the Trump Organization, we now learn that they've also opened a criminal tax investigation targeting the Trump Organization CFO, Alan Weisselberg. The case was reportedly launched a few months ago. It stems partly from financial documents given to the office by Weisselberg's former daughter-in-law. Weisselberg has worked at the Trump Organization for decades and is also the subject of an investigation by the Manhattan District Attorney's Office. The number of COVID infections and hospitalizations and deaths are still coming down. But Dr. Anthony Fauci on Wednesday said that a COVID-19 booster shot will likely be needed within a year after the initial vaccination to keep up immunity. Fauci added that variant-specific boosters may not be needed. Another day, another video surfaces. This time, it was in Louisiana, where a new body cam video released by the Associated Press shows a black man named Ronald Green being tased, kicked, and punched by officers before his death in 2019. The video, along with AP reporting on footage not publicly shown, appears to conflict with initial police reports, which did not mention troopers using force or arresting Green. Go figure. The Justice Department's Civil Rights Division is investigating along with the FBI. When will it ever end? And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.